right, the fun new website that I read pretty religiously now is called Grown and Flown. Why, you ask? Because parenting never ends. And from Grown and Flown, we are talking once again to Lisa Heffernan. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Good, Wendy. How are you?
I'm a little afraid because both Bill and our journalist, Steve Bertrand, our newsman, have told me that my son's a junior in high school, and I should have already applied to colleges. What?
Yep.
What? No, not at all. Not at all.
Oh, man.
You guys are mean.
Maybe we are.
Oh, did you say junior? I'm sorry.
Yes. Because actually, the school is having a college night coming up April 4th, and that's
when it gets started.
And so I'm going to get, I don't know what to do. Help me, please, Lisa.
Well, you know, I've just published an article in the New York Times last week called Advice College Admissions Officers Give Their Own Kids. So I went around the country and I interviewed college admissions officers who have high schoolers themselves and asked them, don't tell me what you tell the crowds, tell me what you tell your own kids. And many of the things they said were basically back off. In other words,
Easy for me to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I spoke to the head of admissions at MIT, and he said his daughter, not surprisingly, is a strong math and science student. So he's telling her not even to bother with AP English, don't bother with AP history. That's not her strength. That's not her interest. Focus on what you do, what you like, and what you do well. So it very much goes against the argument that a lot of parents hear that your kids have to do everything. Your kids do not have to do everything. They have to do the things that they enjoy well. That's what attracts the college's attention.
That is interesting to know. Now, how important are grades? Because I was talking to my sister last night about my junior's grades, and be honor roll, nothing, you know, too exciting. But is this something that they look at exclusively?
Most college admissions officers will tell you that the transcript, and I'm going to explain that for a second, is the most important thing. And that would mean both grades and the courses that kids choose to take. They like to see that kids challenge themselves. That doesn't mean that you're taking 5 AP classes. It may mean that you're taking, that your favorite subject is art and you're taking the studio art AP. In other words, they like to see that a kid is a strong student and in the things that they're best at and the things they love the most, they've taken that extra challenge.
And Lisa, we have to point out to Wendy and to anybody listening also that some schools put heavy emphasis on essay questions, that they'll send you a series of essay questions, and those can be as important or even more important than the grades themselves, right?
Well, the essays are very important because it's the way the college admissions officer sort of gets to hear the kid's voice, gets to know them personally. I mean, let's be fair, a transcript's just a bunch of letters and numbers.
Sure.
And the advice that we got from college admissions officers for this piece is make sure that voice is true, make sure that it sounds like you, and make sure that anything that isn't on that application that you tell in this essay. So it's a chance really to explain yourself and anything about you in any realm that's different or interesting or novel. It goes in the essay.
We were talking to someone fairly recently. He's done a documentary on how schools maybe their teachings are very archaic, the way you sit in a desk, you know, row by row. And I will put a link up because I can't think of it right now. And he told us off the air that there's going to be a new way to apply for colleges starting, I believe, next year, where it's done via video and online. Are you aware of anything?
There's going to be a lot more of that. Many schools are already allowing kids to submit their own videos. There's something called the Coalition application, which I believe is going to allow videos as well. That is starting. Exactly. That's starting for next year. So we're going to, you know, very much jump into the 20th century here. But, you know, there are already plenty of things kids can do. They can send videos. They can send artwork. They can send music. They can email with college admissions officers. College admissions officers are real people behind a real email. And my experience with my own children is when they had a question, I just said, ask the admissions officer. As long as it isn't something you can already find on the website and then you look like an idiot. But if there's something that you can't find on the website and you're wondering about, send them an email. You're a real person. They want to hear from you. They're interested in your application. One of the other things, though, that this is not new world, this is old world, that many of the college admissions officers told us was get those applications in early, on time at a minimum, but early. Because, you know, colleges get all their applications on certain due dates. There's an absolute flood of them, and they're trying to wade through, you know, knee-deep in applications. If your application came in a month earlier, there's more time. It's not so rushed. They haven't got, you know, they're not stacked up on their desks. So do it a little bit earlier. take the pressure off yourself.
How do you know the deadlines? How do you know?
It's all on their websites. Schools,
I don't know
all have
any
different
of
deadlines.
This.
Schools all give me a call. Schools all have different deadlines, and you need to look on the website because some schools have December 31st deadlines, some have January 15th deadlines, some schools have early admission, some schools have two rounds of early admission. Each school is very different. There is only one thing that all schools do, and that is that all decisions from the students need to be in by May 1st. So there are many seniors right now trying to make their decisions, and they all have until May 1st. But in terms of application, every school is different, so students have to check that. Another piece of great advice we got from the college admissions officer is if you apply to an early admission school, wonderful. That's your favorite school. That's where you want to go. Many of those applications are due November 1st or November 15th. Put your regular applications in as well, because if you don't get into that early decision school, you're going to be disappointed. Everybody's disappointed. Your mom's going to be disappointed. Your dad's going to be disappointed. You're going to be let down. And there's going to be a couple of days of sort of dragging your feet and feeling like it's all gone wrong. It's a lot easier to weather that disappointment if you've already got those other applications in. And it's a lot easier to do a good job on those applications when you don't have that disappointment hanging over you.
Lisa, go ahead.
No, I thought that was very wise advice
from
one of the dads.
Are you're familiar, I'm guessing, with the term waylaid? I had never heard of it until recently. Do you know what that is?
Do you mean waitlisted deferred?
It's all of those. I've heard the terms interchangeable. What this means is one of my daughters is taking a gap year, and she's on this list where it's almost like being in limbo, where they have a certain amount of slots to fill. So they've said, we're interested in you, but we want to see who else is interested in the school first, and if enough people are or aren't, we'll base our decision on that, which puts her, like I said, in this weird kind of state of limbo. Yeah. Is there something we should be doing in the interim, or is there nothing we can do?
Well, there are a couple things. So many schools call that deferred. So say a student applies early and the school can't really decide whether they want the student or not, and they want to see all their regular applications, so they'll defer the school student until the regular admissions decision pile. Waylaid, I guess, is sort of another word for that. There are some things you can do. If that is your favorite school, if that is a school that you want to go to no matter what, and if you will accept them, and students need to be honest here, it is worth writing the admissions officer an email, not a letter, not a visit, not a phone call, an email saying, you're my first choice. This is the school I'd most like to go to, and if I am accepted, I will matriculate. I will come to your school.
Because we've already been there, by the way. Okay, we visited them in December.
Okay, but that letter is worth an emphasis, because you know what? These schools want the kids who they accept to accept them. It's just natural. So if they know that they've got a kid here who's saying, you're my favorite school and I will come to you, then that figures into their decision.
All right.
May not change it, but it's a factor.
All right.
We're talking to Lisa Heffernan. Her website is Grown and Flown. So much advice on there about everything. And now advice college admissions officers give their own kids. It just doesn't seem fair that they can say, we're going to look through all the other applicants. What is a school really looking for?
You know, many schools are trying to create a very diverse, balanced class. So they want the same number of girls and boys. They want a diverse class geographically. They want a diverse class on many different yardsticks. So it may be something that simple. It may just be they want to see what their whole pool of applicants are going to look like so that they get enough athletes and enough musicians and enough poets.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. The other thing, though, Bill, is that if anything has happened since that application was submitted, it's super important that kids relay that information. So if a student has gotten any awards, if a student has undertaken any activities, or if there have been any changes that you would have put on that application but have happened since that application, again, just shoot the admissions officer an email saying, can you please add this to my file? I'd like to let you know X, Y, and Z.
All right, good.
Okay, and what if you don't get into your favorite school? Do you apply again the next year? Do you just keep trying?
No. You apply to enough schools the first time so that you get into a school that you want to go to. Most kids need a list of schools that include all schools that they would be happy going to, but some that they have a better chance of getting into, and some that are perhaps a little bit more of a reach for them. Their college admissions officers at school can give them an idea of how many schools that is. For some schools, kids, it may be 6 schools. Some school kids, it may be as many as 10 schools. But kids need to make sure that they're applying to some schools that they are almost certain to get into and that they would like to attend.
That's great advice.
Sure.
And we can find this article that you wrote on Grown and Flown. And where else was it? Just in the New York Times, you said?
The New York Times, exactly. It's in the New York Times over the weekend. It was called Advice Your College Admissions Officers Give Your Own Kids. And then we have plenty of information, as you said, on Grown and Flown.
Lisa, really quickly, I'm curious. You said this the way of applying by way of a video is something that's going to be a reality in the very near future. It's already, I guess, happening in some places. Is that a video of just the student themselves, like just their face talking about themselves, or is it a more creative video? What kind of video
are they? Accomplishments?
Yeah, what are they sending?
Well, for different kids, it could be different things. So if you're, say, you're an actor or you're a musician, it could be you talking interspliced with small segments of you performing, if that's something that
like
you do.
Like a demo reel almost?
A little bit, yes, yeah. But with some explanation, with some conversation, with some discussion, exactly. It's going to supplement the essay, so it's going to be a way for an admissions officer to get to know you a little bit better. I do know there are a few schools who are already doing this, and I think it's going to become more widespread.
And that's not in place of an essay. That's to supplement it, you said.
I think so far it hasn't been in place of an essay, but, you know, we're in a fast-changing world here. So
yeah.
I could see the day where that's what kids do. But at the moment, I believe all schools are still asking for the essay as well.
And see, when you said, you know, just email the admissions officer or whatever, you can find all this information on their website. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I don't feel like they're going to answer you. You know, you think they get so many emails, but they do.
They do. Well, many schools, particularly larger schools, have regional admissions officers. So you're not going to just email info@admissions. Whatever the school is. You're going to find the name. Let's say you live in the Southwest. You're going to find the name of the admissions officer that covers your states or your region, and you're going to email that person. My kids certainly got some responses from when they had specific questions. They got responses from those admissions officers. Yes.
All right, we're talking to Lisa Heffernan, and she is going to hang on for 1 second. We're going to take a quick break here, 312-981-7200, and we have some phone calls, some questions about getting... You guys really scared me that I should have already done it.
We didn't mean... Steve, we didn't mean to scare you. Yeah, I guess we did.
You totally
did. We
did. When I was a senior is when I talked to my guidance counselor to figure out where I wanted to go to school.
I do know in my own case and in several of my daughter's cases, it was right around the midway point of the junior year where you started scheduling tours and
that's
things
what
like
I'm doing.
That. So, yeah, you're on par. You're
all
fine.
All right, well, thank you.
You're fine.
All right, 312-981-7200. Grown and Flown is the website, and we'll continue talking with Lisa Heffernan. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. It's Bill and Wendy. We are talking with Lisa Heffernan, who has put together one of the most helpful websites I've ever been on, Grown and Flown, Parenting Never Ends. A couple of topics here. The most important question to ask your teen when your kids leave for college, remember this. Unhappy college student, 5 ways parents can help. But today we are talking about advice college admissions officers give their own kids. And Lisa, we have a couple of listeners who have some questions for you. This is Marianne on the line. Hi, Marianne. This is Lisa.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Bill and Wendy, I love your show.
Oh, that's nice.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Secondly, I have twins who are juniors, and we're going through the college visits and all this kind of stuff. And I'm wondering, how heavy is the weighting on waiting as far as, how important is it that they have extracurricular volunteer activities, or do they look at them if they have outside jobs? How important is that stuff?
Marianne, thanks for your question. I asked a couple of the admissions officers about that. Now, I can't extrapolate to the whole world because I just, spoke to a couple dozen admissions officers. But one of them said to me, in our family, making money is super important. So my daughter works as a lifeguard every summer, and she just stated on her application that's what she needs to do. And she keeps all of her activities during the school year. So I think these things are important to show that your kid is engaged and working and committed to something. But it doesn't matter what it is they're engaged or committed to. So if your kid is doing a part-time job through the school year, it's important that goes on the application because admissions officers respect that and they know just how demanding that is. So it's important they do something.
Games.
Video games does not count, and I know from experience. So it's important that they're engaged, that they're working, that they're committed to something, but what that is doesn't matter. It only matters that they tell their story.
Okay, thank you so much.
No problem.
Thanks, Marianne.
Boy, video games would be a category on my sons, too. Yeah.
That's too bad.
And I think we have time for one more. This is listener Bill. Hi, Bill. This is Lisa Heffernan.
Yeah, hi, Lisa. I just had a question. My daughter was already accepted at several colleges. Of course, her favorite one is one of the more expensive ones. And we have already gotten financial figures from them. We're just curious, is there any way you can maybe possibly get them to boost their financial aid?
You know, Bill, I'm not at all an expert on financial aid, and we didn't ask. I was asking about admissions, not about financial aid for this piece. But I have heard from other parents that if you do have a better offer, not that you're going to, you know, try and play one off against the other, but if you explain to an admissions officer, we can't come to the school because we're going to have to take an offer from another school with, you know, a better financial package, that sometimes they may reconsider. But I'm really not an expert there, Bill. I'm sorry.
It's worth a try, though.
Thank you very much, though.
Okay.
Boy, that's interesting. This is like applying for a job. I didn't realize. I just went to ISU because my brother went there and my grades were good enough to get in. I don't even remember applying, and I only lasted 3/4 of a year. But, you know, it's changed a lot.
Part of the challenge, I think, so I did the same thing. I went to my local state school. I think a lot of parents, we did that. We didn't really know about places that far outside of, you know, our geographic area. And, you know, the world has really changed. I think one of the reasons people are so interested in this topic is that parents are having to learn right alongside their kids.
Yeah, because I don't know what I'm doing. Bill, did your daughters help you through this process?
Yeah, you know, it's really strange how it's worked out. But for some reason, because of the prices involved now, because of the mere cost of the education, you have to pay so much more close attention. Because, I mean, you're shelling out an insane amount of money for those 4 years. So, I mean, it was, as you pointed out, it wasn't haphazard, but not as much thought went into it a generation ago as is going in now.
Pretty fascinating stuff, Lisa. Everything you write is so helpful, and, you know, it seems like we're all going through one of these things on your Grown and Flown website at any particular time. So thank you so much.
Oh, Wendy, thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Take care, Lisa. Appreciate it.
Grown and Flown. You can go to grownandflown.com, and you can read her latest piece, Advice College Admissions Officers Give Their Own Kids, not that they give the public, that they give their own kids while you're getting ready to get your kids off to college. That's in the New York Times and also grownandflown.com.
We're going to take a quick break. Kim Gordon has the news for you, and then more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN.